Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I would, even though there's a few of us here, oh, you're way back there, Ben. I'd like to go around the room if you would please say your name and then we'll repeat it. It helps me get to know you and I appreciate the form. So let's start here and I'll be the last one.
Vada.
Jamshid.
Susu.
Leah.
Renick.
Renick.
Mel.
David.
Emilia.
Michael.
François.
Ryan.
Luke.
Ebony.
Jess.
Ian.
Stephen.
Caitlin.
Louise.
Let's go back.
How about here?
Jonathan.
Pat.
Stephen.
Todd.
Dan.
Jay.
Ben.
Kate.
Marsha.
And
Augusta. Can you hear okay back there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I can't believe this is the third time I'm sitting up here talking about a verb. How verbose. And I'm very aware of like shifting over into a little bit of departure mode. I've got some boxes I'm packing up and I'm thinking about what that will be like leaving on Monday after these other things that are coming up in the schedule and heading on to Calgary. I wanted to start with a quote that I have from D.T. Suzuki. So these verbs, some of you may have not been at the other two evenings, the first verb being offering, the second noticing, and tonight gifting. And this, I thought that this quote was very succinct and really describes maybe what I've been trying to teach here and also talking about gifting tonight. The arts and Zen are not intended for utilitarian purposes or for purely aesthetic enjoyment, but are meant to train the mind, indeed to bring it into contact with ultimate reality. So both Zen practice and the arts and temple arts have this balance about not having a function, not having a purpose, and not also being strictly aesthetic, but a mix, a melange of that. And I think he says that very well in terms of meant to train. And that's what form is, a way to train. So gifting in Pali is dana, and you've probably all heard that expression. It involves a host and it involves a guest. The most obvious temple art is way of tea, in which you receive a bowl of tea and someone pours it for you. We also chant about host and guest and giver and receiver in the meal chant and when you take up orioki. Giving is voluntary. So I think that's something that's very particular to the idea of gifting. It's something that it has a voluntary sensibility, and it's a voluntary donating, if you will. And most importantly, there is no expectation. There is no considering, well, in the best of practices, how it will be received? Will it be treasured? Will I be special? Am I going to be a more important person now that I've gifted this item or thing or sensibility to someone else? So I'd like to read to you what I think is just a wonderful nuance around gifting. In Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, there's actually a whole section on, he calls it God-giving, and his definition is to give is non-attachment. That is, just not to attach anything. Not to attach anything is to give. So he describes three different ways to gift. And they're not so obvious. When we sit in the cross-legged posture, we resume our fundamental activity of creation. There are perhaps three kinds of creation or gifts. The first is to be aware of ourselves after we finish Zazen. When we sit, we are nothing. We do not even realize what we are. We just sit. But when we stand up, the gift is we are there. This is the first kind of gift. When you are there, everything else is there. Everything is created all at once. When we emerge from nothing, when everything emerges from nothing, we see it all as a fresh, new gift. This is non-attachment. The second kind of gift is when you act or produce or prepare something like food or tea. And that one I think we're all pretty familiar with and is the most obvious way of gifting. And the third kind is to create something within yourself, such as education or culture or art or some system for our society. So there are three kinds of creation or gift. But if you forget the first, the most important one, the other two will be like children who have lost their parents. Their gift will mean nothing. So what we did tonight was a form of gift, sitting Zazen, allowing ourselves to be completely aware. I think the other place that gifting comes up in our practice is right effort. And right effort is one of those practices that, how can I say? There's sometimes pride associated with it, or I did that. But Suzuki Roshi says about right after effort or gifting, the most important point in our practice is to have right or perfect effort. Right effort directed in the right direction is necessary. If your effort is headed in the wrong direction, especially if you are not aware of this, it is a diluted effort. So the idea of gifting, most important is being aware of the receiver and what might be an appropriate gift. And if we're too caught up in our own idea of our own effort, of our own attachment to what's going to happen, then the gift doesn't really sink. It doesn't really work. It's kind of like I remember going through the ages of terminals, you know, different cables and terminals and different ports. And in fact, I have a cable here tonight to make sure that I'll be able to hook up on the weekend. But I remember that feeling of having all these cables and then, oh, it's a different port. Oh, it's not quite, it's not that one. It's not a SCSI. It's not a whatever it was. And feeling that without that appropriate connection, without that ability and knowledge and awareness to know what actually makes these things go together so that one can receive and one can gift, you have to kind of be aware and you have to know what fits. So what fits is a really important part of gifting. More so even, I think, than offering and noticing. In temple arts, there are several places that gifting comes up. The most obvious is Way of Tea, and another one is altar care, which we'll talk about on the weekend. When the offerings are made to embellish and furbish the altar, that's a gift for us when we walk into the zendo and we enjoy what has been set out to honor Buddha and to also honor the zendo and our sitting here. So tonight, what I'd like to do is have a particular kind of grouping. No objects tonight. But what I'd like to have you do in a group is to consider these questions. Did you receive or give a gift today? Which is easier, giving or receiving, and why? So those are two things to consider in your speaking tonight in a group. Did you receive or give a gift today? And secondly, which is easier, giving or receiving, and why? And I think tonight in your conversations, it's helpful to think about this relationship between offering, noticing, and gifting. So last week I said that offering and noticing could kind of flip. You know, you could notice something and then make an offering. So then when it comes to gifting, where does gifting fit in with offering and noticing? In my mind, gifting has to be the last. It has to be the piece that fits in at the end. Because without offering something and without noticing whether the receiver, the giving and the receiving is an appropriate effort, you cannot gift. And if you gift, I've had this experience of gifting something that was I was way off the mark. In fact, it was worse than even gifting. It was something else. And that was because I wasn't, one, awake and aware and noticing and then considering what would be an offering here, what would be an exchange, what would be something I could put forth. Whatever it is of those three categories of gifts that would fit, that would actually enhance, that would cause less suffering, all of those things we make vows about. So gifting isn't just about wrapping a package up and buying something and wrapping something up. In fact, I think the third category is the most intriguing one. And it takes a lot of right effort. You might think about that category and how you might enact that in the coming week, how you might enact that kind of gift that doesn't include cooking or an object or anything like that. It's more about something coming internally from your education or your arts or your sensibility that becomes a gift to someone else. This afternoon I was looking over some of my notes and I realized that Norman gave this just beautiful talk, which I printed out this afternoon, and maybe I'll reference it more this weekend, about gifting, giving and receiving, and the six paramitas. So I think that it's a really important sensibility. And for myself, I've really had to work at receiving. I find that much more difficult. I much prefer to be the gifter, to be the person that's moving something forward, as opposed to receiving. And I think that it's a wonderful skill to be able to receive something and enjoy it and not deny it and appreciate it, even if it's just a comment like, oh, you look great tonight, or whatever it is, you know, to enjoy it, to appreciate it, and to acknowledge it, like, thank you very much. And I know for myself, a lot of times when I get a compliment or somebody says a nice remark to me, I want to disqualify it, you know. I'm like, oh, well, no, actually, I didn't, you know, instead of just receiving it, like, thank you very much. And that's all it takes, is just thank you very much. And in that way, the person gifting has a chance to feel that actually there's been a connection. If you interrupt it, like I have a habit to do with qualifying it or disqualifying it or, you know, not accepting it, then I'm actually denying the person who's trying to gift. So think about that for your own person, you know, what comes easier? Or what did you grow up with? Who did anybody gift? Was there any kind of gifting going on when you were growing up? I think that's plenty. So let's break into threes the way we have before, just gather with two people that are near you.